Valentine's Day again, and so next week on Valentine's Day, I'm just going to follow our same series and preach the seventh day of creation. But we do need to come to church for that, I suppose. You know, you can't stay home and rest, but on the seventh day, God rested, and it's Valentine's. So on the seventh day, God rested, and Eve got us all in trouble is the theme we're going to pick up next week on Valentine's Day. And I'll work off the rough edges off of that message before we get here, praise the Lord. But appreciate again that we can have Valentine's Day. Make a note of it next Sunday. And we will have a banquet again right after church at the Chinese restaurant. We'll have a Chinese banquet again for our Valentine's. And you make plans on that. But this week we again want to look at the sixth day of creation. Very precious day. And I've tried to compare these days and say which one of these is the greatest. And I've been unable to do that. Everything that God created in each of these 6 days. And if you believe your Bible and you believe again in the inerrancy, infallibility of Scripture, then you believe they are 6 days. They're not six age periods. They're not. There's no gaps in here. They're 6 days of a week is what the Bible is very clear about. And so as we study them on this sixth day, probably as there might be some kind of crescendo building up to what God creates here on the sixth day. So let's go ahead and look at it in God's Word. And I guess let's go ahead and take our reading. Yeah, let's read starting in chapter 1 and verse 24. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Genesis chapter 1 and the sixth day of creation begins its accounting in verse 24 of Genesis chapter 1. You follow along in your Bible as I would read from God's Word. God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Father, praise you again and thank you now for your word. We want to tell you that we believe it. We want to tell you that its words comfort our heart and divide the thoughts and intents of our heart and the bone and marrow and the spirit and the soul. We'd ask again that it would do it again for us this morning. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated as I look at this. I hardly have an outline to go through it, except again to understand that the crowning achievement of God's creation is given in this accounting that I read. The whole purpose of God's day one through day six is established here at the ending of this sixth day of God's creation. His whole purpose, His whole intent, again, was, and everything that He had created up to this point, was to create man, that man might have fellowship with God. And notice again, as we look at this day of creation, that for the first time here, again, before yesterday, again, in our creation account, we find that there was sea life made. And that sea life, according to Psalm, would include mammals, because a whale is specifically mentioned, we know to be a mammal, the dolphin, and much sea life, again, our mammal. But here again, we find that now there's creatures upon the face of the earth. So we can't distinguish that now mammals are here, but there is a distinction between what was created on the fifth day and what was created on the sixth day. And here we find, again, bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And so, again, I didn't get my PowerPoint slides done this week, again, to display the vast variety of life that God created in this statement. But we see them pretty regularly, again. And again, as we consider them, understand again that all things that God created here in this time were not exactly as we see them. Even as I read there, their diet was significantly different. Again, and so there were no lions and tigers and bears, as it were, that were meat eaters. Again, all ate of the herbs of the earth. And so notice again that some of these are different than what we may see today. And so there were two curses brought upon this earth by man. And that curse, the first curse again, is what brought death. And the second curse brought huge changes in the environment that we see created in this creation account. So as we understand here that all the creeping things, it's only for us to barely imagine, but again, the variety and the differences of them is still overwhelming and amazing. And we have not categorized, as I say, all living things even today on this earth. There's still being new species found that we did not know existed before. There's still new discoveries in that. And so again, the vast array of God's creation on this account is almost overwhelming here, even to our consideration. And on top of that, now on this sixth day, we see this statement, "Let us make man in our image." A couple things I'd like to point out here is, number one is we believe in the Trinity of God. God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's plain teaching from the Bible. All three are God, and we can't comprehend that. And all three are individuals, and we can't comprehend that. It is three in one. There's been a lot of examples that have been used to illustrate that. Water can be in a liquid, a solid, or a gaseous state. And so, but God is not the three different states. He is one, and so it's not that He appears this way one time and appears another way another time. All three of them are separate entities. All three of them are one. An egg has been likened to a Trinity of God. And again, the same is true, that it does help maybe with the picture. If you have an egg yolk, I couldn't say you've got an egg, you've got a yolk. If you've got an egg white, if you've got an egg shell, again, we always like to do this when we was playing around with the kids. You take and poke two holes, little needle holes in the tip of an egg, and you could blow the contents out and end up with nothing but a little empty shell, again, of an egg. And then the kids start throwing them at each other. So what good was that? I don't know. It's fun anyway. But notice again, if you just have an eggshell, you can't say you have an egg. In order for an egg to be complete, it has to have all three contents. If you mess with any one of them, notice you destroy the life that's in them. And so again, it's a picture, but it's only an illustration. And it does not completely capture what we have as God as a Trinity. But as we are going on from Genesis 1 and verse 26, we do understand clearly the teaching that God is a Trinity. And the Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And we find out later that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we called His name Jesus, because He shall save His people from their sins. And all things were created. And so He is the Creator. He is our God. But again, understand here that He is present here in this Trinity account in verse 26. And notice again, your Bible does not say, "and gods," plural, said. Even though Elohim, the name for God that's used here, is a plural noun, when we translate it to English, we do not make it plural because of the context that it's given in. There are times when you can find gods plural in your Bible, but it's because of the context, and it's then speaking again of man's gods. And so notice here that even though the word God is plural, the context here, the verbs that attach it are not plural. And therefore we don't have, "and the gods said, let us." And I point that out because Hebrew is a strange language. It's a powerful language. It's an exacting language. And the ability again to make plurals from nouns and verbs is an important correlation between how we translate. And again, modern translators have completely missed a lot of that. Remember, I tried to make a big deal out of the first verse. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens." No, it doesn't say that. Bible says He created the heaven, and He's making a distinction there. And any modernist Bible that you pick up has translated that verse poorly. And it, even though the heaven there is a plural noun, it should not be translated heavens in this instance, because that's not what He created. It was the singular. And so notice here we have some lessons. I don't want to go too much lessons on Hebrews. But boy, in this day and age, you need to understand some of these rules, because our world, again, is twisting. Christianity in our world is twisting God's words. And we dare not allow that. "And God said, let us," notice the plural, "let us make man in our image." For a long time in doctrine, it has been taught that man is material and immaterial. That's what the philosophers from Greek says. That was picked up again by the Romans. They believed the philosophers more than they believed what the Bible said. And so they believe that there is only two parts of man. There is the material and the immaterial. And the soul and spirit are the same kind of thing. And we can't differentiate between the two. And so they say that man is only material and immaterial. Let me go ahead and clarify very clearly that the Bible is emphatic and clear that man is a triune being. The Bible is clear that we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And even though man says that we can't differentiate, but the philosopher says we can't tell the difference between a soul and spirit, boy, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 sure nails down that there is a difference. And this book can differentiate between bone and marrow and between soul and spirit. And there is a difference. And so again, it might seem like a light thing, but again, understand that the precepts and concepts of Christianity, of God's holy word, are under attack from every avenue, even where we consider, well, man isn't really a trichotomy. He is a trichotomy. He is made up of three pieces, exactly as God said here, that He's made in our image and our likeness. God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. And if God is a trichotomy, man is a trichotomy. And that's a difference between man and animals. And so again, understand that even as we look at some of these things more in depth than perhaps is intended from our pulpit, again, understand that God's Word is very exact. And again, those that would water down God's Word or walk away from God's Word or read it a little bit differently are very wrong. And so again, we believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. And here, notice again that man is made different than the animals. Man is different than the animals. And again, For the first time, I got to watch, they finally publicized one of the Republican debates. It's funny, they publicized all of the Democratic debates on TV, but none of the Republican debates. And so for the first time, I saw a Republican debate on ABC last night. And I was going somewhere with this. And anyway, the attacks on God's Word, again, with evolution and the idea that we're progressing along to a higher level and all the whole theme, America has been lied to again.
Amen.
And I was well pleased to sit and watch the Republican debate. I would say that you could vote for any one of those, and we would be far, far, far better off than the progressive liberal path that we're on in America. And so again, to understand that all of mankind is in rebellion against these verses right here. And they said some staunch things about life and about abortion on that debate last night that we hold as dear and precious to us, that it isn't just an animal. It isn't just a creature. It isn't just an embryo. It is indeed a human life at conception. And conception happens not in a test tube. Conception happens not when it's an embryo. Conception happens when it is in a womb of a human being. And again, when that happens, that's conception. And at that instant, it is a life.
Amen.
And it is a God-created life. And it is a trichotomy of life. It has a body, it has a soul, and it has a spirit. And again, against the teaching of all religious institutions, again, come back to what the Bible says to understand that human life is different than animal life. We are not a product of evolution, as is believed by the whole Democratic Party, as near as I can tell right now. We are not a product of that. We are a special creation of God,
Amen.
Created in the image of God. Boy, again, as we even prepare this week for funerals, for looking off into eternity and asking those questions about afterlife, again, understand that God made man in a very special way here so that he would be with him forever. At this point right here, man is created in the image of God. And it has a body and a soul and a spirit. And God's intent is that man would live forever. And again, that's not the case for the animal. That's not the case for the cow, nor the herd, nor the any of the other creation that God has made. That is a special instance that God created you. He created me in His image. And He did that so that we could have fellowship with Him. We talked a little bit about purpose in Sunday school a little bit this morning. And the whole purpose of man. Let's go ahead and look quickly at Revelation chapter 4 on your way. Man is created for a purpose. And we have a purpose in this life. And sometimes we look at end-of-life issues and we ponder again some of those things to understand what is our purpose and are we fulfilling our purpose. Right now, there's a $50 fine for cell phones that go off during church. $75 if it goes off during prayer. I'm sorry, I got distracted there. Revelation chapter 4, look at verse 11. Underline verse 11. Circle verse 11, make sure you can find verse 11. Picture where we're at here. We're in the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're in chapter 4. We finished the messages about the things that are. He wrote again, the things that thou hast seen, and that's the Gospel of John. The things that are, and that's the seven messages to the seven churches. And now he's beginning again in chapter 4 to deal with the things that shall be. And in his introduction to the things that shall be, notice what he says in Revelation 4:11. They're again worshiping the Lamb, and it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." You and I are created more specifically than the all things that's mentioned there, the human is created for His glory, for His purposes. And we are created like Him, in His image, with His likeness, so that, and male and female again, so that we can indeed be for His glory, for His fellowship. That's why He made us, and He made us to live forever. We probably won't get to it in this series, but there's coming up a chapter when that living forever thing is taken away from man because of sin. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Understand that before that verse in Hebrews 3:15 or Genesis 3:15, when He puts the curse upon man and fulfills the promise that He made that in the day ye eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. They began down a path of death then, but they also had a spiritual death at that point. Before that, God's intent that was that everything would live forever. Now, don't go crazy on me in here and become vegetarians, because that's what's going to cause you to live forever. That is not it, again. And although a lot of people, I try to go back to that and say, this is what God originally intended. Listen, you can't go back to what God originally intended, except you do it by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no diet you can do that'll get you back to what God intended. But there is a Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. And death came by sin. And when that sin is gone, that death is gone. And we can have everlasting life. It is quickened inside of us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, when we put our faith and trust in Christ, we go all the way back to this accounting right here where God created man in His image and for His purpose. When we are not found in Christ, we again walk through this world and we are departing daily from the image and the likeness of God that He created us in. Our steps through this life from birth on, our first little tissy fit, our first little rebellion, and that was usually done before we could even speak. We learned to lie in our cry before we could put words to our lies. And the heart of man is only desperate, or is wicked and desperately wicked. And so again, as we see that accounting of man, understand that we walk through this life departing from the image of God. Some people have walked quite a ways. We tattoo our bodies. We pierce things that ought not be pierced. And all of that is, again, a walking away from the likeness of God. It is a rebellion in man's heart to the likeness of God. And you can walk the streets again now in New York, anywhere, Yates County particularly, and find a heroin addict. Yeah. Listen, that's not what God intended. You'd find man that, again, has an addiction to the things of this world. That's not God's intention. You can find man locked into vices of this world that grab onto him. And there are, again, five vices that I regularly preach of in my years in the military. I've seen them all up close and personal. And again, in my years in the military, the government uses them to promote its agenda. WWWDG. Wine, women, weed, drugs, and gambling. All promoted by our government, by the way, and taxed by our government as an income source. And so again, as we look at those things, again, understand that that's not God's intention for man. God's intention for man, we said again in Sunday school, was that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And listen, to be on a path of a new life, that's God's intention. Again, that even in Ecclesiastes that we looked at today, that we would use our minds to explore God and to learn of God. That's God's intention. Paul writes to the church at Colossae and the church at Ephesus and says that ye may know Him. and the power of His resurrection, that you may grow in the knowledge of the will of God. And so listen, man has a purpose here, and it's right from this day in creation, and that he would again have his face set towards God. But man again has his set heart set and his face set and his soul set away from God from the womb, from birth. And listen, except a man be converted, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Except ye be born again, you cannot see, yea, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so again, understand there needs to be a transform of man. And again, a walking in a new direction. Man was created here with a purpose. He was created in the image of God. That little child that comes out of the womb is in the image of God, but is born in sin and walks a life, again, that just reflects sin and death all the way to the grave. Except, praise the Lord, some of us bump in to a witness that shows us some scripture verses that says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, I was taught that when I was 8 years old, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that if little Eddie Rice believeth on Him, he shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, you've got that. If you're here today and you're a born-again Christian, you've got that everlasting life. And you're not on a course of destruction. You're not twisted into a vice, a habit. You have, again, some fruits of the Spirit. And again, those fruits of the Spirit cause, again, that all things become new. And we have a new direction in life. We have a new purpose in life. We have a new goal in life. And then having that again, although as sparks travel upward, days of man are filled with woe. Even so, as we go through woe in this world and circumstance in this world, we have a Savior. Amen. And we have everlasting life. And even as we've seen death this week, again, understand that there is a new purpose to man's life. There is a new walk. Sometimes things seem futile in this world. Sometimes we don't know a purpose of life. But boy, again, understand that here's a verse that talks about God's creation of man, God's creation of you, God's creation of me, that says we have a purpose. We have a goal. And listen, if you walk through a whole day and talk to nobody, but talk to God, you fulfilled your purpose. if you move to Canada, honey, you listening? If you move to Canada, where they still have homesteading allowed, somewhere between Thompson, Manitoba, and Winnipeg, and you pick a little lake out there that's just loaded with walleye, and you bring your chainsaw and you start cutting down trees and build a log cabin. Listen, you might not touch another soul the rest of your natural life here in this world. But you are there for the glory of God. And your communications with Him, your talk with Him, your walk with Him, as you go through hurt here in this life, He watches us, He loves us. And we commune with Him, and we walk with Him, and we talk with Him. And He loves that. That's why He created you. And you might not change the world. You might not change even your circumstances. But did you talk to God this morning? That's what He wants. He doesn't want, again, that we'd revolutionize the whole world and change the course of a nation. He wants to talk with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to hold you close. That's His purpose. That's why He created man. As we again have a funeral this week again, and as we take note of that, boy, it's good to know that Byron knew the Lord. It's good to know that he walked with Him. And he talked with Him. And he had a relationship with Him. Because that is the purpose of man. That's why we walk here on this earth. And certainly we'll commemorate a whole bunch of other areas of Byron's life. But boy, again, understand that the main thing here is that we are made for His glory and His purposes. And we walk with Him. And He is a tremendous comforter in that relationship. And let's keep that just mindful and forefront, even as we walk through this week. And as we'd again deal with all the trials and struggles, I know that there's many going on at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. But praise the Lord, we have one that we can walk hand in hand with our Savior. And His hand is a nail-pierced hand. And listen, we just finished reading through the book of Job and studying that in our book club. And there's lots of things that we'll never understand about God. There's lots of things you might never understand about why good things happen to bad people, let alone bad things happening to good people. And though we might not understand those things, understand this, that God wants you to fellowship with Him. We read in our reading, I guess it was yesterday, Exodus 33:11, where Moses talk to God face to face as a man speaketh with a friend. Listen, set that as your goal. Two goals we looked at here. One was in Ecclesiastes, that you'd get to know everything that's under the sun. And we're not going to be successful at that one. But it's still a challenge, and it is, again, the challenge given to us. But, again, to be able to talk with God as a friend, and have Him as a friend, no matter what life brings our way. That's, again, the purpose right here in this creation of God. You're created in His image and in His likeness so that He would have someone to talk to. Let's talk to Him this week. Father, praise You again and thank You. I thank You for Your Word, and I thank You again as we'd study it here today that we could see Your purpose in creating each individual in this room, each individual that we know. And Father, I pray again that as we would explore Your purpose personally in our life, as we'd find that everlasting life, again, to know that we're going to be a vessel for all of eternity for Your pleasure and for Your purpose, I pray that You'd help each one of us, especially in this week, to walk there and to live there in just a precious, abiding way. And we'll give You the praise. Thank You again that we could meet today. Thank You that we could worship. Father, I pray again, even because of what we looked at, Your purpose in creating man in Your image. Father, that we could again have a week that's blessed by You as we would lift up Your name. In the name of Your Son, we pray. Amen and amen. 270 in our hymn book is Just As I Am, Without One Plea. Let's go ahead and sing that. That's how you came to Christ. There's no other way. And as we would sing that again, if you've not come to Christ as your Savior, boy, I'd encourage you as we'd sing that first verse that you bow your head and call upon Him. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt believe in thine heart, because thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so as we again do that and sing this verse, again understand that this is how we always come back to God too. Just as we are, we can't clean up our life and then come back to Him. We come back to Him just as I am in this verse. And then also that's how we abide with Him. Just as I am. Next week's Valentine's, and we're going to look at marriage a little bit. And as we do, I've seen marriages where a spouse goes in and say, I'm going to fix that person. I'm going to change that person. I'm going to get that person straightened out. And that's why they get married again. And you're going to be in need of some marriage counseling real soon with that kind of attitude. But again, understand this, that God doesn't love you because you're cleaned up. God loves you just as you are. God doesn't love you just because you got all your ducks in a row. He loves you because, again, He created you in His image. And He wants you to fellowship with Him, and He wants to fellowship with you just as you are. Let's stand, and we'll sing that as our closing hymn. Just as I